This is how we all came into the world.
This is The Basics Guide to Women's Wrestling, your best source for women's wrestling commentary and recaps. Running late on this week's episode because there was so much action, there's technical difficulties on our part, but really I just spent a lot of hours watching a bunch of old NXT matches that were not very good. I'm your semi-basic host, Liz.
I'm Joseph. Don't forget about your dumb baby.
We had him.
We have a baby we can only record at certain times.
Like just that break right now. Okay, we're done. We're good. Let's start off with SmackDown real quick.
Because it was so short.
It was pretty short, but because it was pretty short.
I mean, that's where we always start, but.
There's a tribute to Bayley and Sasha that Bayley and Sasha put together for themselves.
Nobody else is going to do it. They got to do everything around here.
Including working the production truck. I know that COVID is like run rampant there, but geez, true role models there.
They're just taking over.
Alexa
taking advantage of this pandemic.
Alexa and Nikki interrupted their tribute, which is actually pretty good.
The interruption?
No. The package that they put together. You know, just like gassing each other up and just talking about their accomplishments to becoming the SmackDown, or not the SmackDown, the women's tag team champions.
Two time.
Alexa and Nikki came out to list their accomplishments,
which are none.
Which are made up.
Make believe.
But I guess the point they're trying to make is that, see how ridiculous you sound? Cause
don't when it's true, though. Like, you guys are just upset you haven't got anything in this company, and there's reason for it.
And you have to make up that Nikki Cross is some sort of queen. 325th in line.
Yeah.
Like, and I think one of the commentators was saying that, yeah, they're annoying and they keep talking crap, or do they just keep talking, but until someone can shut them up, like,
yeah, Corey Graves is saying that. Graves and Joe, get to Raw, are the only, like, realists, because they're both like, yeah, they're kind of annoying, but
They're winning.
They're winning. The best part of the shows right now.
Oh, man. So this whole match was, there was a match. Basically, Sasha volunteered Bayley for a match against Alexa.
Did Alexa hit one of them first?
Alexa smacked Bayley.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was like Sasha's way of defending Bayley, setting her up for a match for the night. Yeah, it wasn't a really good match, like, by any means. But, you know, like, the thing that I remember the most is that Bayley was working a lot on Alexa's arm, which is interesting because I was watching all these NXT matches from years ago. And there is one where Alexa actually was, you know, she was wrestling low. And one of her strategies...
Wrestling who?
She was wrestling low.
Oh, yeah.
One of her strategies was really working on... Oh, who was it? Rachel Ellergan? Is that a name? She was Rachel Evers or something like that for a while. Anyway, she was, you know, really going to work on this girl's arm. And so it was just funny that that's what happened to have been the match that I watched today and what happened between Bayley and Alexa. And the whole time, Bayley just was not taking it seriously either because she was mocking Nikki's
ring work.
She was
in her street clothes too.
Yeah. And she was just like mocking Nikki Cross the whole time, like doing her moves and just like calling her out the whole time.
Clapping.
Yeah, because like, you know, Nikki's on the outside trying to get chant going for Alexa. And
yeah,
Bayley's
clapping
with her.
Where she was trying to chant Alexa. Like, you're the only person who calls her Lexi. It's much easier to chant Lexi.
She did it later.
I didn't hear the one she did it later. I was just when she was doing the three syllable chant, I was like, what? Why?
It didn't end in a pin or anything because I think Nikki came around the side of the ring and Bayley was like yelling at her. She was like, mind your own business, like stay out of it kind of deal. And when that happened, I think, Nikki hit Bayley in the head and the ref disqualified her, disqualified Alexa. So Bayley won.
Everybody's making a big deal about Sasha wearing that belt.
I mean, it
What else was she supposed to do with it?
I guess because they wanted her to carry Bailey's strap on her shoulder. But it's like, no, it looked aesthetically correct to be wearing the title with the two chains. Yeah. She got involved in the match. She, at one point when the ref was distracted by Nikki on the other side, Sasha stood up to like lend Bailey a knee and they smashed Alexa into it. So that's basically it. It's just mostly furthering Nikki Cross and Bailey's match to add Extreme Rules. Which I'm especially after the other matches that happened this week, I'm really not looking forward to it. Like, I'm ready for it to be over.
I think the build is, they're putting too much effort into it. Unless Nikki's going to win, which would be horrible.
I think WWE kind of set themselves up badly, though, because this is, like, I guess what's supposed to be the storyline, this whole Nikki Cross push, but having these matches against Asuka, Io, Kairi, it's overshadowing this feud.
Yeah, because they're not as good.
And it's not like...
Nikki's endearing, like, wannabe charismatic character because she's associated with Alexa just doesn't work. We saw her doing commentary on Raw, like, trying to be her character, trying to pump up her character more. And she's trying. She believes in it. It just isn't good. We already have Alexa. We don't need you to be that same, like, annoying bratty character. You were much better as Rat King.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the other thing, too, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the women are kind of lost right now, especially with how well Bailey and Sasha are doing, because you kind of see, not that we've seen a lot of the women recently, but when they are on, they are taking cues from them. They are trying to do some of the same stuff that works for them, but that's because it works for their character. And it's kind of the same with Nikki. It works for Alexa's character, not necessarily hers, because, well, I guess, like, we never really got that introduction to her when she first came onto the main roster.
Yeah, so she's just been like, she was never her own character.
Mm-hmm.
She's just been a side piece, and now they want her to be the main focus, so they're like, well, why don't you just be quirky Alexa? It's like, no, it doesn't really work.
And I think the only reason why they're pushing her too is because it's like, all right, well, who's next? And that's it.
Yeah.
Not like they can actually come up with. And Bailey and Sasha keep saying the same thing. Nobody can touch her right now.
They should have just broken up Alexa and Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should have gone for the tag team titles one more time, and then Nikki just, like, turn on her.
Yeah.
You were my friend, but I'm here now, and I need more from my time here.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's because they're still holding on to that chance of tag team title holders again, like, in their back pocket, so they're not going to.
Yeah, I mean, they don't need to. There's five women's tag teams on NXT. Those belts are numbered on these main shows.
Yeah.
On the big shows.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm just, like, not super pumped up for that because come Raw, you have Sasha, Asuka, Kairi, and Bailey all on the same show.
Three best women in the company.
So it was Bailey and Asuka that was billed for the night, right?
Yeah.
But then it turned into
champion versus champion.
It turned into another there was another match, which is Kairi and Sasha.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And not just because, like, their whole performance in the ring, but just like all the antics that were going on, like, around it too. Like, Bailey yelling at Asuka that her partner sucks. Mm-hmm.
Kairi did look a little, like, out of timing. Because, I mean, she looked rusty because we haven't seen her in so long, I think, in a few spots. But she's still, like, even on a rusty day, she outshines a lot of those women.
I was just going to say, that was the other thing is, even, because when you pointed it out, I didn't even really think about it. I was more just into the fact of how fast Kairi and Sasha go and, like, how, like, fluid they look together. And it was just cool.
Well, I mean, we just saw Sasha and Io, and it was, like, almost flawless last week.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying, like, that's where you can nitpick and see that Kairi, misstepped here or there. which is understandable. She had a concussion and her head bleeding, and she's been out of action forever.
She's been cleared for a while, but yeah. Man, Sasha's Meteora is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, she just looks like she just flies across. Like, yeah, well, yeah, that's the whole point, right? So Bailey got involved in the match, and it ended like in a disqualification, right?
Because I think so.
I think it just ended, had like all of them were just brawling at.
Yeah, I just remember them on the outside, that big spot right there.
Oh, when Kyrie jumped onto them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're just all,
oh man. So the end of the night was Bailey and Asuka, where I think it's been a while since they've actually had their one-on-one, or any feud of like any sort. I was trying to go through some of the old like episodes to find one out. There was like one back in 2018. I don't know if that's how long it's been. Yeah, it was on Raw.
Because Asuka's been here, there, and like in tag team pictures, so yeah, probably.
So I went back and watched the NXT TakeOver match where Bayley lost her title to Asuka.
And her spot on the NXT roster.
Which began Asuka's longest reign. It was like 520-something days that she had
was
it.
Undefeated until then, too,
undefeated,
right?
Yeah. So I went back and watched that match. I watched their rematch, which was Bayley's retirement match.
Oh, that was the one.
And that one was really good, too.
That was the one I was thinking of.
And then there was one that they had on Raw together, which was funny because as I was watching it, some of their moves had, like, synced up. Like, there was a few, like, I think Asuka did a missile dropkick on Bayley. On the Raw episode, she missed it. Bayley was able to duck out of there. And then on the this past Raw episode, she hit her with it. But anyway, the differences is pretty crazy, like, since they wrestled in TakeOver. And I wanted to show you a clip really quick. So you saw in those clips, like, how, like, quick they were, how, like, how ready they were for one another. And that was, like, one of their first matchups, really. But it was just really cool because, like, I think they have really, well, I think Bayley can really make a lot of people look good. But her chemistry with Asuka is, like, other level, which I realized going back and watching it and then watching this match now. It's, like, back then they were just, like, super, I don't know, like hyper performative, and like there was like a whole set of submission holds that both Bayley and Asuka were doing in that first TakeOver match, and that was the one where Bayley just passed out. She didn't tap out or anything. She died in the Asuka lock. In the second rematch, or in the rematch at the second TakeOver, she was just pinned. But yeah, it was just like, it was just cool going back and watching those and seeing like the difference, not the difference, but just like how much more evolved that they've become, because now like they are a lot stronger, first of all. And now they also do know how to perform for like a camera and the audience and whatnot.
Yeah.
Cause that's what we got in this Raw match, was just, again, more like outside of the ring antics.
Yeah, because they're more character-based, too, as opposed mm-hmm. to Bayley just being a hugger and Asuka just being, like, the unstoppable force.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you showed me that, because I actually wanted to go back and watch more of Bayley's matches while I was watching this Raw one,
mm-hmm.
because I think she's done it. She's the talent that we thought she could be, being face and heel.
I'm so grinning happily right now.
Because, like, the brutality she used in that match and in the Alexa match before was, like, perfect heel wrestling.
Yes.
And you even see in that match where she's falling, in the NXT one,
mm-hmm.
where she, like, fell on Asuka to do that ankle lock, like, the desperation there.
Yes.
And in the Raw episode, she also fought with a little bit of desperation at certain times where she yeah. was, like, trying to crawl, but instead of, like, trying to still be like the fighter
climbing the mountain,
yeah.
she knows she's on top.
No, it wasn't, or, like, even that. Instead of like trying to like fight her way out, that's where she was trying to like get these cheap shots in on like Asuka's
yeah.
back. And
well, that's
like,
why, like,
and being much more,
it's that arrogance.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like that arrogant fighting, that or that spirit that comes out
yeah.
in her. But yeah, it was.
And I mean, a lot of people that I know like her heel, and mm-hmm. she was way over as a face before. She had her "We Want Bailey" chant, so like.
Oh man, yeah, they were singing throughout that whole match.
I think she's
match.
Done it. Yeah. I just don't know if she's gonna be able to go back and forth the way uh-huh. that like a Seth Rollins or Daniel Bryan seem to be able to, or Kevin Owens seem to be able to, like that kind of mm-hmm. higher roster talent. But we'll see whenever it's time for her to be a face again.
Yeah, so this whole Raw segment was cool too. Also because it is involving Nikki Cross. She came out at the beginning to be on commentary.
Yeah.
And again, just like, okay, cool, we get it. Like, America's sweetheart or whatever.
Yeah, like, she's just more annoying than anything.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, the commentators were egging on her annoyingness were like, no, you guys should say, ugh, like, she's kind of a bit much because she is. Which is fine. Just they're call that like, oh. out. But instead, like, they're like, oh, Bailey and Sasha are so annoying and we're so happy to have you here. Like, even Tom Phillips was like, come on, dude, you're just Michael Cole 2.0 now. So Michael better watch out or he's not going to have a job soon. They got a younger, cheaper version of him around.
And I'm sure Bailey will, like, generate enough hate for him as well. Yeah. What did she say? Like, I don't know who I hate more. Like Nikki Cross, Kayla Braxton asking dumb questions, or Michael Cole.
No, it was Sarah.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah. Or Michael Cole. She's like all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so this back to the match. Nikki didn't get involved, and at the beginning she was like talking trash to Bailey, and Bailey walked over to her. And you hear Nikki like be like, "Hey, that's not 6 feet." Before Bailey knocked the headphones off.
It looked gross. Anytime you knock anything off of somebody's head, just looks worse than it ever is.
So like security took her out, and then it wasn't until the very end. Oh, and Sasha assisted in this. In this match again, giving her knee mm-hmm. to Bailey. It didn't work though. Nikki was in the crowd and started like banging on the plexiglass. Like, what a distraction.
She called that from Roderick Strong though. Or she got that from Roderick Strong. That look on her face when she got scared, like that was exactly like Roderick Strong during the Dexter Lumis.
What do you mean?
When she was Nikki's like all face? No.
Oh.
Bailey's. She's all like terrified of Nikki. Like, why? First of all, why are you scared? But I think she was just trying to prove that she could act better than Roderick Strong from NXT.
So yeah, Bailey falls for that distraction. And Asuka was able to, well, she got into the Asuka lock. Bailey
that
tried
was a cool
to reverse
little
it.
Sequence because mm-hmm. she tried to pin her, and then she still also stood up with her,
mm-hmm.
and then she just couldn't.
Well, they ended up getting broken up, and Asuka was able to just roll her over into like a tight pin.
Yeah.
So that's how that finished. But yeah, just like the stuff that stuck out a lot was Bailey and Sasha getting water for Asuka.
Yeah.
Like she was like pushing Asuka's face onto the ropes. She's like, "Are you thirsty, Asuka?" And then Sasha went and grabbed water for them.
Yeah, like her heel work is so great.
Bailey sitting on commentary for like part,
she's
in
like,
the middle
yeah, I'm
of
serving
her
it up. Because that was what Joe was like, "Oh yeah, Bailey's serving up like a beating or something like that." She was like, "Yeah, that's right."
And then also just Bailey taunting Kyrie throughout the whole match too.
Yeah.
And like if she, maybe who knows, maybe if she hadn't been like messing around so much, she could have won. But
that was one of
no
her best performances during this whole run for sure.
So I remember telling you, I was like, "Oh man, this SmackDown this Raw segment is really, really good, even with Nikki Cross involved." But still, they're trying to get us to like care about her match coming up with Nikki Cross, but I don't care.
Yeah, and that's
I only liked this match against the Asuka and fighting with Kyrie.
With the way that like their commentators kept going back to it too, like, "Oh, Bailey's underestimating her hard and she's like super arrogant," like just makes me think they're gonna pull some dumb bullshit and yeah. ruin Bailey's like the length of her streak, even if she gets
for
the belt
Nikki.
Back. Exactly. Like why?
Not even our Rat King
yeah.
for Nikki Bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. If it's yeah, exactly. If it was Nikki from NXT, if it was that last woman standing match against Asuka from NXT, like a last woman standing match against Bailey where she's just like feral, yeah, I would take that.
I mean, I'd be pissed.
Because, I wouldn't even necessarily be pissed personally, but you would because it's Bailey. But, like, if she put that same effort with Asuka, like, did she put in that Asuka match? Like, if it was that kind of a match, after all the stuff that she's done, after how long she's worked in this company, like, sure, she's earned it. But now, like, this character just isn't worth it.
Yeah.
So I hope they don't pull that shit, but it's WWE, so I wouldn't put it past them.
Even though this is the Bayley and Sasha show, the Iconics were on there, too. And they're still trying to terrorize Ruby Riott backstage.
No, they were just getting ready for their match, and Ruby was the one who came up to them.
It's 2-on-1, though.
So, Ruby shouldn't go be picking fights.
It was, so the match was between Billy and Ruby this time, and, man, Billy's looking good.
She looked better, but she was still, like, I think she's just so, I don't want to say gangly, but there's not a better term. Like, she's just so long and still coming into her, like, figuring out the way her body looks, I think. Or, like, the way to make moves look good, I guess.
I know. It was...
She looked way better than we've seen her before, though.
She had a new finisher, didn't
she? Yeah,
it
was like the wing clipper that Angel Garza does, but it didn't look that good. That's what I'm saying. Like, there was just points where it looked awkward.
And I wouldn't disagree, because I just kind of felt like, oh, I guess they have to give one to Billy too, since Peyton won last week.
She needs to spar. Her and Peyton need to spar a little more. I think she can get there. She just needs to work a little more. Like that move she did, because her legs are so long, that like protect your neck move she did off the top rope looked cool. It looked cooler than Mia Yim's ever made it look.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, she did do that move, yeah. Didn't she?
That was right before Ruby's freaking hair started falling out.
Oh, that's right. Now I definitely remember that match. I love when any of the women lose their hair during a match. Oh, and then at the end of it too, they were throwing it.
That was funny. No, they were flagging down the ref because the ref was tending to Ruby instead of picking up her arm. You didn't know, like, that's what they were saying, is they're like, hey, get over here. Like, you're supposed to raise my arm. This is, and Peyton was like, this is your job, not my job.
Oh, that's funny though.
Yeah, that's funny. Makes me happy. Use her hair as a flag. Like, they're just so good off the cuff. They need to, as long as Peyton keeps on improving the way it looks, the way that she did last week, Billy keeps improving the way she did this week, I think they can start being a real force.
Yeah.
They're some of the best characters in the in the women's division.
They're like the funniest ones too. Yeah. That's for sure. Okay. Battle of the Wednesday night Bash Fests. Did you watch Fighter Fest?
No.
Okay. Well, you didn't. Same thing with Great American Bash. We didn't miss like a ton either as far as women's matches go. But on Fighter Fest, we had Nyla Rose in a handicap match. And I'm going to pull up their names because I completely forgot it. They're just jobbers. But I guess they are signed with AEW because they already put like wins loss records for them. Kenzie Page and Killian King.
Haven't heard of either of them.
Yeah.
They must be on Dark.
They must be because this is, I guess, like their like big debut or whatever.
She looks like Kayla Rose or what's her name? From... Man, it's been so long since we've seen her. From UK?
Okay. Oh, Isla Dawn?
No.
What are you talking about?
The red hair looks like the champion.
Oh, Kaylee Ray.
Kaylee Ray.
No, she looks a little bit more like Isla Dawn. Isla Dawn also has red hair. Yeah, so this one wasn't exactly a squash match like I was thinking it was going to be. And I'm glad because then we got a little bit more minutes out of Nyla Rose. She... I don't know how to, she isn't like this super crazy force in this match. She wasn't like just unrealistically knocking everyone down. Like they put up a fight, they gave it back to her. She's been gone for a while, so it would make sense that she wasn't just like crushing them, but it was a lot more interesting to watch. And in the end, she still dominated over both of them. She's still wrestling against two women, but yeah, like she just looked like good for coming like from she's on comeback. She's on a comeback now. So that
she's still fighting two people.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's why like it's they've always built her up as like this. Well, she's a beast. Yeah. And I don't want to draw any comparisons, but yeah, they just didn't book her that way in this match. And it was pretty cool to see. Because otherwise it could have just lasted like 2 minutes. And it could have been very easy to do that. So I appreciated it. But that was also the only women's match at Fighter Fest.
No, there was the Sheeta match last week.
Yeah. I'm talking about second this night. This
week, yeah. I mean, once they did the same thing on NXT.
No, we had two women's matches on NXT.
Oh, I haven't seen the second one yet. Yeah. I need to go back and watch that one. But they always have two women's matches. They're still both, I mean, mostly inconsequential matches, though.
Yeah.
We had the good match last week that main evented, and then we had Sheeta versus Penelope Ford last week, too.
The other thing that Nyla Rose said was she was making an announcement that all these winners and top stars have managers and that she hired a manager. She's not going to tell us who it is.
Huh.
So, suspense.
I wonder if it's Jake the Snake.
Hmm.
He's there with...
I thought it would be like a woman. But...
Oh, it could be. But he's there with Lance Archer.
Britt Baker was there in her role model chair. She was... Because
it's a wheelchair?
Yes,
that's hilarious.
Big Swole was denied entry into the building.
She got corona?
No, it was like a restraining order, maybe? Because they told her she was served. So she was pissed because she was like, 3.5 hours. You guys ever heard of a fax machine? but she still snuck into the building anyway.
No, it's 2020. There's text messages for
that. Well, she was saying that. Haven't you ever heard of a fax machine? Snail mail. So she got into the building because she knew that it was Britt Baker behind of it. behind it. And she tried to attack her. I don't know who that bodyguard of Brits is. Do you know? I don't know her name.
Her friend or something.
Yeah. So she ended up like hitting her and her hand ended up hitting Brit's face. So yeah, that was like, I guess the other action.
I want to see more of Big Swole. I hope they continue using her.
Mm-hmm.
Like she needs to fight Nyla at some point soon.
Yeah. And then on the other show on NXT was kicked off with a street fight. It's funny because I was watching Impact and it was Rosemary and Valkyrie versus Susie and Kylie Rae. There's so many Rae middle name wrestlers right now. Well, I'm like trying to keep track of them.
There was also like a showcase of Rosemary. Is that her name?
Yeah. And so earlier in the show, they showed like a match from a couple of years ago. And this is a street fight.
They showed multiple ones. Yeah. Too. You missed the other two, but there was other. Mm-hmm. There was more on.
Well, the one that I wanted to bring up was Rosemary versus Jade, also known as Mia Yim. Like, how coincidental. So they were showing their street match and we talked about Rosemary a little bit. She's like, I don't know, Satan's daughter or something, I think. But yeah, she's definitely the hardcore one. And she took all the bumps in that street fight. Yeah, she landed on thumbtacks, right?
Yeah, she got German suplexed onto them.
Yeah, she was really good in that match. In this tag match on Impact, they're leading up to their own pay-per-view. And so there is like a feud going on between Susie and Rosemary right now. And Kylie Rae, like, I don't know, they're kind of getting bullied or something backstage. So I just didn't realize that this girl Valkyrie was in on it. But yeah, so that matchup was kind of weird. But anyway, I also forgot about who won it. So I won't spend too much more time on it. We'll go to Mia Yim's street fight with Candice LeRae.
Well, we saw that. Because I didn't know why Mia ever had a following coming in here. Like, there was no explanation for me given the evidence that we had, because she's never done anything entertaining to me in this one. Like, I haven't shit on her in a few weeks, so I will just say I haven't liked almost any of the matches that we've ever seen of her, which has been a lot on NXT. Like, it's been a good sample size, and I haven't liked any of them. So when we saw this, after seeing that on Tuesday, and then saw that this was going to be a street fight with her and Candice, I was like, okay, maybe she can show, like, if this is where her experience is at, and Candice is known for taking big bumps and, like, having bloody matches on the indie scene, like maybe this will be good, or this has potential to be good, and it just fell flat like everywhere except for like two spots.
Yeah, it was like really disappointing for me because I do want to root for her only because of how like antagonistic you are towards her. And in this Rosemary Jade match,
and I don't mean to, like I really don't mean to be. In
this Rosemary Jade match, like Rosemary was the one taking all the bumps. She was the one carrying that match. And in this Candice Mia street fight, Candice was taking all the bumps. And
yeah, there was no reason for that not to be a suplex that ended up being that dropkick, that spot. She should have superplexed her into that table.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Candice got a table set up on the top ropes.
No, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about when they were outside the ring.
Oh,
when they were at the craft table throwing all the snacks around. That should have been a suplex from Candice to Mia instead of being blocked into a drop kick. Like the only reason that it wasn't is because if that spot happens, the spot at the end doesn't look as big.
Really, Candice LeRae just kind of stuck out the whole time. And like, I don't know if I've ever like, I guess, I don't know. I haven't like been super pro Candice. I don't think I've been a complete hater on her.
Well, the last 2 weeks she's been good.
This match was so cool. Just it just sucks that like it wasn't like one that I could get super invested in. It was just me looking at how great Candice was doing throughout it. And yeah, because she was taking all the bumps. She was taking all like those hardcore hits.
Except she doesn't know how brass knuckles work.
That too.
She hit her with it like it was a like candlestick instead of putting them on her fingers. I don't understand why that happened.
Well, also, aren't those like really dangerous?
Yeah, but
this
isn't
Mick Foley.
I assume it's not going to be real brass knuckles, or you can not take real brass knuckles.
Or maybe Mia did bring real brass knuckles, like, and when Candice realized, she's like, oh crap.
Mia's like, hit me.
She said, no, thank you.
No, I'm about to drop you on your neck.
So how is it that they did that spot off of the table on top of the ropes? Because, well, like, they
just did the old Gargano special where they pulled out the table way before ever using it. And then they finally set it up flat on the corner. Right. And she did, like, a swinging net breaker off of it onto the pile of chairs.
Onto the pile of chairs, yeah. And so Candice took a hit there, too. And really, she only won because she was able to ever so gracefully drape her arm across Mia Yim and get the pin.
That was
a win.
That's the Adam Cole way.
So yeah, like that was that match. And then they really should have saved the other two matches for this last night. Because it was Mercedes Martinez versus Santana Garrett.
They weren't going to take away from that main event. They've been building to that main event.
I guess
forever.
So. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But I was, you know, like giving the benefit of the doubt for this for this match. And like, I know it's Santana Garrett.
Jobber Eternal in NXT for some reason.
They both had like very like flashy entrances, I guess. And that's the only thing I liked about it because the rest of it was just like a nosedive.
Well, Mercedes had, I haven't seen it yet, but I was assuming that she was going to have a flashy entrance because the way they've been building her up, like,
yeah.
NXT does a really good job of doing like these 90s promos for weeks of building their people up. And even though we've seen, like, the weird thing is Mercedes has been around for a while. Yeah. Now she's like,
she's just back from injury.
We have like a month of her promos coming back. So that was the one that was kind of weird, but I still need to go see that match, so I can't say much about it.
I can really just tell you the whole thing was them taking turns, getting big hits like a boot or maybe like a clothesline, and then they would just stare at the audience for a while. Like it was so slow. Mercedes was just brooding the entire time, like after she would hit a move. And I don't know, it was such a letdown. And everybody was like cheering for like when Santana Garrett was able to like pop up from her back. I don't know, whatever that breakdance move is.
That
like,
crowd sucks.
That's what was getting the reaction. And I was like, am I missing something? Like, is there, like, are we just supposed to cheer because like it is a match? I mean, if that's the case, all right then. But really?
Yeah, because that crowd sucks. Like, it's just nothing but shills.
Yeah, so it was, you didn't miss anything.
I still need to watch it for my other show, but yeah. if
It's very
short. If both
short.
Of their past performances are any indication, I don't anticipate it being anything noteworthy.
Yeah. I mean, I think I just remember their entrances more than anything, and Santana Garrett fully embracing the Ringmaster gear. So yeah, that was it. That was it this week.
But we have Shotzi.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's like backstage stuff. Shotzi Blackheart was hanging out backstage, and Robert Stone was trying to get on camera, like what was going to be like a history making moment. Goes over to ask Shotzi to join his brand. She's like, no. And he threw his cup backwards, I guess. And he threw it on some guy. And he was like trying to get in Shotzi's face and tell her, like, do you know who I am? Who do you think you are? And Shotzi was like not having any of it. So after that other guy beat up Robert Stone and he's on the ground, she took her little driving tank and ran over his ankle. And then she left it parked on his leg and then left.
That was hilarious.
Yeah,
I mean, if that's the only shots we were going to get from these 2 weeks, we need to mention it because she's probably the best person on this roster left. I mean, other than EO, she's the most intriguing person.
She's my favorite right now on this show, for sure. So on SmackDown coming up, we have Bayley and Sasha versus Alexa and Nikki, non-title match. And that's the only thing I can think
of. Raw's going to be versus the Kabuki Warriors for a title match.
What's on NXT then? It's going to be Tegan.
Tegan versus EO title match as well.
Okay, so we have a good week coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then we have two. We'll probably record before then again, actually. But yeah, the next Sunday is the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Which I'm just looking forward to Sasha Asuka.
Might potentially get three double champions in the company at one time. And all people of color.
Oh yeah, all the champs are, huh?
If they pull the trigger on the third double champ, it would all be people of color. That would be great.
All right then. Oh, I was watching like more of the NXT matches, right? And there was one that made me laugh. I think it was like, oh yeah, it was Carmella versus Aaliyah. And it was just funny because it was like Carmella versus evil Carmella. I didn't watch it though. And then there was a few matches. Like I did watch some Nia Jax matches just to like make sure I wasn't being a complete hater because I did go back and enjoyed some of Alexa's. But she also hasn't really like done much to like super progress.
Well, you also got to keep in mind that she, when she hit the main roster, she was progressing and looking good for a few months, and then she just immediately started going backwards.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Same with Nia Jax, is when she was on NXT, she actually could sell a lot of her bumps that she would take, and I'm wondering if that was something that they would tell her to do. And maybe when she got to the main roster, she had like no guidance other than you're an unstoppable force. Nobody can touch you. Because after a while, she just stood there like a freaking tree. She's totally regressed. I like have given up all hope on her. But yeah, going back and watching Alexa, I wasn't as now that I'm like a little bit further removed from This Is Your Life, Bailey, I don't look back on Alexa's matches like with any disdain now. But again,
such a bad promo.
Oh, but how the tables have turned on this last SmackDown, because Alexa and Nikki's notes with list of accomplishments was nowhere near Bayley and Sasha's tribute video. That was the other thing we didn't talk about. They were saying how they got a phone call from The Undertaker. So they shit on him too. Like they're just like all around out and they're not. Yeah. They don't care anymore.
They're the best thing about the company. I said this on, I said this on Take Under, is I haven't seen this. It's different because they're heels. I haven't seen this much talk about any one storyline since Becky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's two of them. So like, it's obviously not Becky and it's different in that way, but like they're taking over the same way that she did.
And the other thing is, I feel like there's a little bit more longevity in their in their bit than Becky's.
Definitely a lot more.
Because they actually set them up to lose, too.
Yeah, there's a lot more compellingness. Where Becky would have won all of these matches this entire time, she lost to Bayley lost to Asuka. And like,
Asuka loses, too.
They keep getting like humbled as opposed to that. That's man like, just had whole, terrible booking. But
yeah, this women's division is just looking so great right now because it's not all just so... like simple.
Yeah.
It's yes, it's very layered, like women. I was watching some Total Divas episodes too, because I wanted to see when Lana first came out. Cause her mom has COVID. She's in ICU and she's asthmatic.
That sucks.
So pulling for Mama Lana. She's such a cool lady. That's the episode I was watching is when
did they live in Florida all together?
I think they live in Tennessee.
Okay, so then hopefully it wasn't Lana that
brought it. I don't know.
I mean, we don't know that Lana ever had it, so we should start saying that. But considering the petri dish that apparently is the performance center because
Lana's the only one there right now. But I went back to that episode where they're gonna meet Rusev's mom, or where we meet Rusev's mom, and Lana's parents are over. They have a stripper pole in their living room. They're like, oh, Rusev, do you think your mom's going to be happy about the stripper pole here? And he's like, yeah, she's not going to like it. Like, we need to get rid of it. But like, as they're taking it down, before they take it down, they all start playing on it. So like, Lana's dad jumps on. And then earlier in the episode too, Lana walks into the kitchen and Rusev and her mom are sitting down. They're like, oh yeah, we're making fun of your dad because he's outside in his suit cleaning the pool. He's like out in like this heat and like a blazer, just like doody doody doo. He's like, Lana's parents are super sweet, and it's too bad she's not on Total Divas to like showcase them more, because they're so cute. They're awesome. And I think Lana's adopted. I want to say she is. So, yeah, they're just like good. Ah, I love them. So, yeah, much hopes love to Lana's them. Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's it. Also, I think I'm going to go back and watch all the episodes of Total Divas now. It's so crazy watching like Paige before and after Alberto Del Rio. Ugh. Renee Young was on Total Divas for a while. Then, like, she started getting real feisty on there, and I remembered why we didn't like her for a period of time. Well, that's it. Maybe I'll go back and watch her and see how it, like, holds up today.
I think she's just that good. I saw an old promo of hers where they're like, here, you need to... It was like her tryout.
Yeah, I saw that one, too. Yeah.
She's just really good for the camera, I think. And after seeing that, I'm like, okay, now I know why she was so good at being the villain. In our like our biggest introduction to her when she was on Total Divas. She's just really good for like she's a good personality.
Yeah, she's cool. All right then. Well,
hopes to her too, because she's
negative. She tested negative today.
Which that means okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was gonna say she had it though, but
she had it, but now she is negative. Hopefully that stays that way.
Stay away from the performance.
Yay. All right. And watch some more women's wrestling.